Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, where I live in central Pennsylvania, everywhere you go, you can't drive on any road without seeing a May 18th vote yes for livelihoods and lives, or lives and livelihoods, or whatever it is. And I've had a bunch of people go, what exactly is that? Because who could possibly be against lives and livelihoods? Who could possibly be against that? Until you dig in to find out what it is, because evidently May 18th, there are going to be four questions on the ballot to add things to our Constitution. Two of them are going to limit our government's ability to deal with emergency crisis. One is going to add some anti-discrimination language, and one is to give, and I don't know how this got on there, but this is to allow paid fire departments to run deficits like the volunteers. Not quite sure why that's there, but that's the direction we're going. And here to share some thoughts on the four ballot questions, I've asked J.J. Abbott to come talk with us. He's Executive Director of Commonwealth Communications. You can check out their website, vote.pa. J.J., thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Rick. I'm excited to talk about these with you.
So I'm looking at these. I'm seeing these signs everywhere. I don't know if they're where you are, but I am seeing them everywhere. There's big money behind this because it's my view, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, this is part of a much bigger strategy, a nationwide strategy, just not here in my little sleepy hamlet that we're getting inundated with this stuff. But this is part of a national plan.
Definitely. And, there's 45 states that have seen proposals in various forms to limit the authority of governors in emergencies. A lot of this is steeped heavily in the sort of science denial and COVID truther movement that we saw that really took over big portions of the Republican Party, particularly in 2020. And so what we really have here is a legislature in Pennsylvania. We have a very Republican and conservative legislature, which felt like everything that the government was doing during this emergency should have been subject to their approval or not. Unfortunately, their own track record doesn't speak too well to that. They didn't wear masks. They had mass COVID outbreaks. And they did pretty much nothing last year except try to roll back mitigation efforts that were put in place to protect workers, protect the most vulnerable. And so now we're seeing that these constitutional amendments that were put on the ballot for the May primary, which is, the primary after a presidential election is usually the lowest turnout election in the state. And so these are really an effort to try to undermine the governor's authority in a disaster. But I think what's important is it goes much further than just COVID-19. I mean, right now, Pennsylvania, we have about 60% of people over 16 that have already gotten their first shot of the vaccine. They talk about lockdowns, but if anyone in Pennsylvania drives anywhere, you see everything is bustling again. People are out and about, going about, pretty much their lives as normal. And so really what this is about is trying to undermine the governor, and really the effects of it are much more in the future when we have a disaster situation like a flood that we see here a lot in the summers in Pennsylvania, a hurricane, a really bad snowstorm. Now, because the legislature wants retribution for how the governor handled COVID, we're in a situation where we may have to have 253 legislators weighing in on a disaster emergency and whether the government should keep responding to it or not. So, in addition to it not really being great policy, it really doesn't make a lot of sense when you look at how the state should be responding to emergencies.
Well, but this is the Republican MO. These are people who tell you government should do nothing. We want government in charge of nothing. It should all be the private sector, the profit sector that does this. So it's not surprising to me that they want to hobble government. They want to make it as ineffective as possible so that they can turn around and when something bad happens, you go, see, look, government doesn't work.
I think there's that. And then I think there's also trying to leverage emergencies. And we saw this with the election, right? We saw last year in Pennsylvania, Republicans tried to leverage a very simple reform around pre-canvassing in order to get their agenda to ban drop boxes and limit mail-in voting. And so what we know is that, you know, these partisan actors have a track record of sort of when they have leverage, they will try to use it for their agenda. And so an emergency is the last time where you want a partisan situation. But even more so, it's sort of a clarion call here. We know what they will do with leverage like this. And I think that's a real concern about these amendments. But you're right, it's part of a larger strategy that we've been seeing for decades, trying to undermine our democratic institutions, trying to undermine the role of government in protecting and improving our communities and taking care of people. And so this is all part of this larger strategy, to undermine government. And it's also part of a larger strategy, for the last 6+ years, Pennsylvania has been protected from this legislature because of the governor. His veto pen has protected us from having right to work and other attacks on workers. It's protected us from attacks on abortion rights and women's rights. It's protected us from attacks on voting rights. And so we know that they are looking for a strategy of how they can get around the executive branch and the veto pen. And if they can succeed with something like this, who knows what's next? You know, we've already seen proposals from a potential candidate for governor on the Republican side, where he wants to try to roll back mail-in voting in as early as the 2023 primary.
And you're talking about the super spreader. The super spreader kid, Mastriano.
Yes. So, and I don't think that's the end. You know, there was a proposal that the Republicans pushed last year and tried but failed to push again this year to try to gerrymander the judiciary, to take away democratically elected judges out of our system. And whether you believe in electing judges or not, the system that they want to do would basically give them complete control over the judiciary and allow them to elect a bunch of right-wing judges to enact their agenda. So we know they're trying to use these constitutional amendments, not just in Pennsylvania, but across the country, and ballot referendums to undermine government and to really, put government in a more difficult position to protect and take care of people, which is really the number one thing that government should be doing.
No, I'm right there with you. Now, you said a second ago that this primary is usually the lowest turnout, the primary after a presidential election, the lowest turnout. I see these two pieces, these two ballot questions, one stripping the governor of the ability to respond and the length of time that they get to respond as something to gin up people going to the polls. This is to rile the base, to get them all tingling in the panties so that they do come out and vote on May 18th. How have you seen any polling on this? Because I fear, because there haven't, there I, to my knowledge, there hasn't been a ballot question like this that's gone down in defeat. Do you see that there's no opposition to it that I've seen? Do you see this just passing? How do you see these things happening?
Well, I think there's a couple of things in that. There hasn't been any polling, but one of the things that's a little bit encouraging is that there's been about 750,000 people who've requested mail-in ballots already for this primary, and about 75% of those are Democrats. We do have more. We have really important elections at the local level, particularly in Democratic primaries. There's really important, really competitive primaries in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and Allentown and some of the other larger urban areas in Pennsylvania. And I think the other thing that it's important is that the questions are also a referendum on the legislature. And so, potentially there, if we have a little bit higher Democratic turnout than usual, there may be some people there may be some people that don't really agree with our legislature or have a high opinion of them. And the last thing I think is important is what we talked about a little bit before, which is that, the messaging here is just really not in touch with reality. They're saying vote yes end the lockdowns. You know, they're really trying to play this up as if there's some sort of totalitarian control, that there's a, they keep calling Tom Wolf a dictator, which is, if anyone's an observer of Pennsylvania, sort of hilarious, because they used to call him the professor and now he's this big bad dictator. And so I just don't think that's really in touch with reality. I mean, Pennsylvania is almost now leading the country in terms of vaccine distribution. You know, things are pretty much opened up. And so I just don't know that it's totally in touch with where people are right now. You know, maybe a few months ago, people were more frustrated than they had been previously about the pandemic and the restrictions. But, you know, for the most part now, towns in Pennsylvania are back to normal. And so, and people are getting the vaccine and they're starting to reunite with their families because of the work that's particularly that's been done at the federal and state levels to really ramp up distribution. So, you know, I get a lot of flack for being an optimist. You know, I hope that people will read these questions, really think about whether they want to put the legislature between themselves, you know, their community and an emergency, and hopefully pause before they hit that yes button. But you are correct. I think we've had 17 referendums in Pennsylvania history and all 17 have been approved. But these are probably the more controversial of those that we've had.
Now, question one, if you vote yes for question one, what the League of Women Voters is saying, that you agree to give the legislature by a simple majority of 51 votes the sole power to take the governor's existing authority away in making decisions during an emergency and coordinating with relevant Pennsylvania agencies. So all it's going to take is 50% plus one to get to basically strip the governor of his power during a crisis. If you vote yes, that's what you are voting for on question one. The question, ballot question number two, it's you agree that the change of existing law to limit the governor's disaster emergency, no matter the severity, to 21 days from the 90 days that it is now, unless and until the legislature votes by a simple majority to extend that and take away the governor's authority to manage new emergency and disaster situations. So what you're doing by voting yes is taking the ability of the governor to respond to these crises away in times where seconds mean lives.
That's right. And I think it's bigger than that, too, because, you know, these disaster declarations, like the way that they've been portrayed is completely nonsense. Like these are really technical documents. And I should just say, I was Governor Wolf's press secretary for 3 years. And for the 5 years that I worked in the governor's office, I was directly involved in the emergency response, working with agencies like the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency, the Pennsylvania State Police. What these disaster declarations do, they really don't give the governor all that much. What they give is local communities, first responders, emergency managers, they give them the power and the resources that they need to respond. They allow the state to get federal funding. They allow the government to do emergency procurement. They allow them to suspend regulations so that they can respond as needed without having to worry about, you know, things like whether, you know, like certifications and things like that, so that they, you know, something in the pandemic, for instance, you know, they were allowed retired healthcare workers to come back and administer things like tests and vaccines. And so these are really run-of-the-mill, you know, core government operations. They're not even where you get the authority to do things like limit business activity or have occupational limits. Those are all derived from a public health law that's completely separate from this. So this is really a kind of a red herring for this, like, you know, COVID truther, you know, that they've really portrayed throughout the last year or so. And really what we're talking about doing is just disrupting the government at the time where you want it to be most effective, which is when an emergency or disaster strikes in your community and you want every resource to be there as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I want the governor, no matter who it is, to be able to respond to a crisis. I don't want to handcuff someone in those moments where seconds mean lives. So me personally, on questions one and two, I'll be voting no That's my view, and I don't know where you're going to go, but I'm voting no on those two.
I'm definitely voting no, and I just wanted to plug real quick. We have a guide set up to give people some more background on these questions. You can go to vote.pa/guide. Again, vote.pa/guide. And that's our progressive voters guide. You can learn more about all four of the questions on the ballot and read why we are recommending no, yes.
So the last two, the question number three is adding anti-discrimination language to the Constitution based on an individual's race or ethnicity. This is the one that I think is going to go down because I see us as a as kind of a racist state to a degree, but you differ.
I think it will get approved. I think that's one of the reasons why we're going to see people be motivated to vote in this primary, and particularly in some of our more diverse communities. This amendment was actually sponsored by Senator Vincent Hughes, the highest ranking Black senator in Pennsylvania. And I really hope it passes, but, I get your cynicism about it, not undue, but I'm really hopeful that we can defeat the first two and still have passage on the third.
So you can argue that the right has their thing to get everybody motivated to get out the vote. Let's stranglehold the governor. And the left, the Democrats have put this out to get their folks out. Because there are some, and I've had people reach out to me and say, but we already have, anti-discrimination language in our Constitution. Why do we need to be redundant? Why don't we just enforce what we have?
Well, so there's a federal protection. This basically mirrors it in the state Constitution. There's about half the states have done the same. The one thing, I just wanted to say, too, about this election is I think that we're going to see whether there's still faith in our institutions. I think coming out of January 6th, there's a lot of Republicans who actually turned against their own party and saw that, people didn't do enough to try to overturn the Democratic election here. But I think there's also a lot of enthusiasm among progressive and liberal people who want to stand up and participate as almost a form of protest against what we saw on January 6th. So I'm optimistic that we'll have higher turnout than we've seen before.
And finally, real quick, we got about 30 seconds, ballot question number four. I don't know why we need a constitutional amendment to allow fire departments to run a little bit of debt. Real quick, if you can explain
it's about, that. Actually, a ballot referendum, it's sort of a weird legal thing, but this actually is great for our local governments. It will allow more flexibility for fire and EMS in places like Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Definitely urge people to vote yes on that one.
All right, real simple. The website, vote.pa /guide. We'll get links out on social media how you can check that out. JJ, it was great talking with you, man. I hope you'll come back and share some more thoughts as we move towards the big election season there in 2022.
You got it. Anytime.
Good stuff. Appreciate the time. JJ Abbott, Executive Director there of Commonwealth Communications. Let's take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. Listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.